The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to be joined on the line now by EBS ambassadors, Irish sprinter Phil Healy, and indeed her coach, Shane McCormick, following the final call for nominations for the 2020 Federation of Irish Sport Volunteers in Sport Awards. This is, of course, supported by EBS. The awards will see EBS and the Federation of Irish Sport hero the work of volunteers from around the country who go above and beyond every day to ensure that sport and physical activity take place in Ireland. These volunteers dedicate some 37.2 million hours of volunteering across the country's 13,000 plus sports clubs and associations every year. The Federation of Irish Sport and EBS want to recognise that dedication and passion by heroing these volunteers at an awards ceremony this November. So to nominate an everyday hero, you can simply visit www.volunteersinsport.ie, and nominations can be made by a club, an individual, or indeed a sporting body, and they will close on September 25th. So we decided we'd get a coach and athlete combo on with us. So we've got Phil Healy, the Irish sprinter, and our coach, Shane McCormick. You're both very welcome. Thanks for taking the call. Phil, is this a strange dynamic for you, having an interview with your coach watching on? Is this like a footballer doing an interview with their coach?
Well, we've had plenty of interviews together, but like, yeah, it is like to share it. Like, we have a very close relationship on what we share, and like, obviously, when you're working so closely to get the performance, you work really closely with your coach and stuff like that. So it is a good opportunity for Shane to share his insights and like what he has done to get the performances from me.
A lot of athletes have spoken about motivation over lockdown, and I guess people can go one of two ways over the last 6 months or so. So for you, the last 6 months, I know you've been you had been busy beforehand doing college work and completing a master's. So has motivation for you in terms of track work been stronger than ever, or a little bit lacking, or how have you found the last 6 months?
Yeah, so right from the beginning, say in the start of March, so even go back further, so even when we're at indoor season, so January, February, Shane was obviously well ahead with coronavirus and looking at what way things were going in different trends across Europe and across the world. And he said before our national championships, the last weekend in February where we were racing indoors, he said there's a high chance that this is your last race of the season. So we were like, oh no, things will definitely go ahead. And as the athlete, you just want to believe that they will go ahead. But it was a week later, Shane set up that I would move into Curraghcloe Holiday Villas, where I was in isolation there. He put a gym into the house, and this was a precaution, as in if everything shut down, that I would have the opportunity to continue training, because at that point Olympics was still ahead, so as or still going ahead, so as the athlete you need to continue training. And I would obviously adapt with doing sessions on the beach, in the forest, on the hills around. And then 2 weeks again later after that, the restrictions came in with the travel restrictions, so I moved out of Curraghcloe. I actually moved into Shane's house from the first week in April. His wife is a Montessori school right next door, so that was transformed into a gym. WIT Arena, or gym here in Waterford, gave us a walk bike so I could continue that element of training. So when the Olympics was cancelled, obviously that is like a bit deflating, but like, you're waiting for it to be cancelled, but like, it's not coming as a shock. But what it's actually done is a bit like final as such. But as I said to Shane one day, like, I don't want to be going to the Olympics. I don't want to have been qualified for the Olympics that didn't happen. So as the athlete, you have to pick yourself back up and continue training. The intensity did was taken out of it for us, because as such there was nothing on at that point, and there's no point training 110% for nothing at the end of it as such. But it gave us a window of opportunity to work on other things, to build different areas where we wouldn't have had that opportunity if we did have races in place. So yeah, as the motivation, like, there was never a point where I was like, no, I'm not going to training or different things like that. We always had the glimmer of hope that Nationals would go ahead, whether it was September or whether it was the end of August. So to have that was a great opportunity as athletes to go out and run, because in the day, our job is to go out and perform. I am a student. I've finished my master's as well 2 weeks ago. So, but I'm an athlete. I am a student. I am an athlete. So it is my job to go out and perform. So it was a great to have national championships go ahead. And it was a credit to all that was involved in organising, and the coaches to get the athletes out there on the day as well.
Well, congrats on the Masters and congrats on the performance of those Nationals as well. Shane, with your wife's Montessori being turned into a gym, we can't question your commitment to the cause, but for people maybe not familiar with your background, I know you've been involved with the Tipperary Hurlers in the last couple of years, so maybe explain to people how you came about getting involved in athletics and coaching in general.
Yeah, so I was an athlete myself from the age of 7 up, and, you know, I wouldn't say I had the talent that Phil had, but I definitely had a drive and a want to be, you know, the best that I could be as an athlete. Unfortunately or fortunately, one door closed, another opens. I got a bad injury in my first year in college in UL. So that kind of forced me to first of all stop competing in athletics. I played a little bit, you know, I played Gaelic the whole way up as well, but after college I moved back to Wexford and I got back involved with my local club in Wexford, and there was a couple of, you know, talented athletes and namely a young guy called David Hines who went on to become the national 100 meter champion 2013 with me, and we you know, he was just a guy he was 17 at the time and just had an unbelievable talent. And I just got involved with trying to help him and kind of fell into coaching that way. And we had an unbelievable journey together. And sort of when his career started coming to an end, Phil's career was starting. So that's kind of how myself and Phil got together, you know.
I'd seen quotes from you sitting in an airport getting the call from Liam Sheedy, the Tipperary manager, to come on board with the Tip Hurlers as a speed and agility coach. So, and a quote that I'd read from you, if you can find 10 1%, that's 10% come All-Ireland final day. So do you adopt similar mindsets, I guess, that you take from the GAA into working with individual athletes like Phil?
100%. So for me, you have to coach what's in front of you, right? And everybody that comes to you is different. Everybody is, you know, genetically different, have their different strengths, their different weaknesses, their, you know, sessions they like, sessions they don't like. And you have to find out what makes them tick. But you can already start with like the big rocks, the big, you know, what's your go-to, you know, your fitness, your strength. And speed tends to kind of come out of those sort of big rocks. If you can make sure somebody is doing the basics and they're physically in good nick, you then can really start making a lot of gains with regards to speed. So, yeah, you are. You're always looking for the 1%, but I think the 1% are different. They're always different no matter what your situation, you know.
Phil, I'm curious to get your thoughts as well on the importance of a coach for an individual sport. You get people in sports like golf and tennis and snooker, boxing, who rely on their coach for more than just training, I guess. It's someone to bounce ideas off, it's someone to talk to. How important is a coach for an individual sport like you? I think about golfers as well, who enjoy, you know, playing in the Ryder Cup because they get that team camaraderie and spirit that they don't get when they play those individual tournaments. So how important is having someone like Shane for your career?
Absolutely massive. Like, the sport is hard enough as it is, and like when you have that individual element, it makes it harder again at times, and everyone just focuses on the result but they don't see what actually goes on behind the picture. So like, even say last year alone, like I broke my foot in April and Shane was there and helped me right through. I was taken away, like I wasn't training with my training partners because I wasn't running. Obviously we could overlap in the gym and stuff like that, but that's a change in dynamic for the athlete. But Shane stepped in and he did some of the sessions with me. He was always there. It's a testing time for the athlete, but like he was there to support me in every way. And that goes through right through the year. Every athlete has their own like difficulties and different issues, and it can be like outside of training, but obviously if there's different things it comes into training. So if it is so important for the coach to know the athlete and the athlete to know the coach, and Shane has been there, whether it's things that I need to start through college and I made the move from nursing into the IT side of things, and Shane was there to support me with that and like help me with my training while I was making the move, or even when I was in nursing, like when I was doing night shifts, I was doing 12-hour shifts back-to-back, and Shane was there to support me in that and structure my training around that. So, yeah, regardless of the sport, it's that support network around you that is a massive element, because I might be the one that goes out there and performs on the day, but, like, it takes a team, and the coach is the one that's there every single day and sees exactly what works and what doesn't work and the difficulties that have been there and the highs as well. to get to that point. So they're the ones that live the highs and lows throughout the time.
We're talking about the importance of coaches here today, but for you, Phil, growing up, I mean, I know you would have played different sports, camogie and soccer and Gaelic football growing up, but you had the influence as well of your older sister, Joan, who's a couple of years older than you. So when you're sitting watching her as a kid, you know, probably winning community games medals and that sort of thing, how big a motivating factor and an encouragement is that to see an older sibling, I guess, getting involved in sport early on?
Absolutely massive. Like, she led the way for me, and like, I wasn't making finals and I wasn't like getting to all Ireland's, and she was getting to all the major championships. So as such, I was living in her shadow. But I stuck with the sport, and like, my coach at the time said, maybe look, athletics mightn't be the sport for you and try basketball instead. But like, an awful lot of people at that age are focused on the winning instead of actually enjoying the sport. Like, you don't have to be the fastest, you don't have to be like the best at the sport, but if you enjoy it and if you enjoy the outlet, that's what it's important. And people need to take a lot more from that, and like, that comes back down to participation. Like, people leave a sport because they don't feel that they're doing well enough in it, or they're not winning and things like that. But I made my breakthrough when I was like, say, 5th year 6th year 17 18. Like, you don't have to be like a natural, like, unbelievable talent so young. And just people need to realize that it's about having fun and take away from that winning culture. But absolutely, Joan was a massive role that led the way for me, and then I've supported her, say, when she's have had more difficult times. And say even recently, like, she wasn't going to race national championships, but I gave her my advice, and like as such, I didn't want her to be like a soft athlete as such and pack it in just after one bad race. Like, you just pick yourself back up, everyone has bad races. And she came out and she got third, and that national medal will always be with her.
Excellent. Shane, for like, from talking about athletes like Phil, when they grow up and bring those habits from younger training with them, how tough is it in athletics to get rid of bad habits in athletes? Is the type of sport where someone needs that innate natural talent, or can it be trained?
No, you definitely have to bring something, right? You have to, depends, right? It depends on what your aspirations are and how, you know, I suppose genetically talented you are, right? And but then every now and again, somebody has an X factor which supersedes, I suppose, maybe the ability that they're born with. So for me, like, Phil has a brilliant ability to compete at her best when needed. She can always find something, regardless of the shape she may be in at the time. There's always an extra 3 or 4% that she can bring on a race day. So I don't look for that in training. I just know it's going to be there. But with regards to, so there's talent, and then there's, you know, I suppose your mental strength. But then there are bad habits. Like, you know, kids grow up, like Phil said, alluded to, like, you know, you grow up thinking that winning is the be all and the end all. So then winning sort of clouds your judgment when you go to do a season, right? So the next week you start getting disappointed with, you know, races that are early in the season, which are, you know, not necessarily really important, but they're good. You know, you're meant, they're there to train, or sorry, to execute maybe a certain race pattern. Or so then if the athlete starts getting, you know, if the athlete stops focusing on the process, then, you know, by the time you get to the big races, you've lost months. So it's hard to, and Phil will agree with me here, like, we had to work on that at the start, that you had to just trust the process a little bit. And I think that's one thing that in Ireland maybe athletes don't do, to focus too much on every race needing to be perfect. Because depending on the time of the year, you're not going to be in shape, or you're going to be down in a hole a little bit, or, you know, until you actually taper for a big race. So it's just managing expectations, but then also the athlete owning that. So the coach can help, but athletes, there's a lot of ownership that athletes don't take that they need to take with regards to meeting the coaches halfway. And it's that journey of them learning that to relax a little bit, just chill out a little bit. Don't put the pressure on yourself. This is a journey. This isn't about one summer or one indoor season. This is about this. If you want to stay in the sport, you've got to be thinking, you know, long term. But then the coach has to have the ability to bring that athlete through several years where they are progressing, because ultimately if they don't see progress, they're going to then start asking questions, and then the trust starts getting a little bit frayed. But it's, for me, if a coach is struggling with an athlete, there's always another coach that they can reach out to help. Somebody's already gone through a problem or worked with another athlete. Like, we've got, you know, oceans of experience in Ireland that's untapped. You know what I mean? Like, there's people that have coached, you know, world champions and things like that. So there's tons of experience out there that coaches just need to tap into.
Phil, Shane mentioned the need for mental resilience there, and I've heard you speaking before about, you know, trying to not let nerves get the better of you, because that immediately gives your opponent a one-up. You know, listening to music, knowing the start time of the race and little things like that, packing your gear the night before, maybe, whatever it is. How important is that aspect to your training? I'm sure you have a sports psychologist as well along with you, but how important for you is being in the right mental frame of mind for a race?
It's absolutely massive, because like, you can train all you want, but if you're not mentally like on top of your game for that race, the training becomes pointless, because when it comes to the race, all the hard work is done. So it's between what the performance, between you and the performance, is the mental aspect. So like, each race, each training session is like a dress rehearsal for the next race that you have, and then like, you go to the bigger races. But at the end of the day, as my psychologist always says to me, like, it's just another race with different marketing. Like, you have your lane, you have the other competitors, like, you go out and execute your race. Everyone is going to be nervous. Like, they're like, I was nervous for nationals. I was most nervous for an indoor race at the National League, where I knew that it was my first race, so like, there was that unknowns. I did have my evidence in training, but for me, like, I believe it more, you know, like, when I actually do it in a race. But yeah, it's having your those rituals that you always do to keep you prepared, keep you organized, and like, that there's nothing going away from, say, the normality that will like knock you off on the day.
Can I just ask finally, we've got the Tokyo Olympics rescheduled to next summer, of course, and we mentioned the nationals, August 30th, you had that brilliant sprint double in Santry at the National Athletics Championships. So what are your short-term goals, Phil, and how do you view next summer's Olympics? And I guess, what are your hopes and dreams for the next couple of years?
Yeah, so Olympics is definitely the pinnacle of everyone's career that they want to achieve. So like, for me, lying in the spot this year, I need to secure that spot and make sure that I'm going next year. And obviously want to build on the season that I had indoors, where it was a super season, breaking the national record over 200. And then, like, for me, European indoors is on next year again. The 400 meters will be the focus. 400 indoors is one that suits me. So that's definitely one of the goals that will be driving me on through the winter. And then take that form from indoor season into outdoor season, and then hopefully Olympics will go ahead as planned, whether it will be behind closed doors or not. If it goes ahead, that's an absolute bonus, instead of like another 3 years where people have to wait. But obviously, if it doesn't go ahead, it's taken out of our control, and it's for the safety of all involved.
Well, clearly coaching is something very important to you, Phil, and Shane, fair play for all the work you've been doing with Phil as well, making her become Ireland's fastest woman. But I just want to mention those awards again that we mentioned at the top. So those final call for nominations for the 2020 Federation of Irish Sport Volunteers in Sport Awards, this is supported by EBS. So they're you can yourself nominate an everyday hero. Simply visit www.volunteersinsport.ie. Nominations can be made by a club, individual or sporting body, and will close, as I said, on September the 25th. So, listen, Phil Healy and Shane McCormick, thanks a million for your time, and the best of luck for everything that comes over the next couple of years.
Thanks, Shane.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.